Welcome to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports.
I apologize in advance if I am out of line here.
Brace yourselves, boys. We're going in.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
I'm not reading, I'm just looking at the picture.
Welcome to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports.
Hello. What's going on, folks? We are here live on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. Once again, we are here on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports, here on the Go Long Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Number to dial in to talk about the sports topics that we have going on here during the week. You call in at 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. We're going to be here on live podcast for about an hour. We got a few topics to go through as we are, you know, looking forward to what's going to happen in the NBA. The NHL has their Stanley Cup Finals that started. And, of course, you're going to be going through what happened with Tiger Woods. So I'm going to be going through all of that here in this episode. But first, we're going to go through a small commercial break, and then we will get right into it. This is the Cold Hard Truth on Sports here on the Go Long Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, all, this is Matthew Long with the Cold Hard Truth on Sports and the Triangle Offense. I just wanted to take some time to tell you about Pest Bear, a wonderful company. They've been around for 20-plus years. They have over 11 branches in Florida. Great licensed, certified specialists, and guess what? They do more than pest control. They also take care of termites as well as lawn care, sprinkler systems, and much, much more. Call today, 1-800-PESTBEAR. That's 1-800-737-8232.
WCSB Sports and MRN Broadcasting, powered by blogtalkradio.com.
Catch the Boxing Source Radio Show every Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. We have James Bell going over the news, notes, and announcements in the sport of boxing. And we also take calls from people that want to talk about the topics that are covered over the week in the sport. So once again, catch the Boxing Source Radio Show every Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. All right, we are back live here on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports on the Go Long Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. And, I'm just here, your host, James Bell, coming in here for the original host, Matthew Long, who he'll be back on the scene here within the next couple of weeks or so. But for the time being, I'm going to take over here. We're, kind of like getting into the summer months here. So you have a few stories that are out and about here. But as far as like live, sports goes, you have, of course, the NBA Finals about to start. And you have the Stanley Cup Finals that went through game one yesterday. Real quick, going through the update for that. Of course, you have the Nashville Predators there, first time in their franchise history, going up against the defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. And it was, kind of a back and forth type of game. Pretty much going by period, I would say. But the Nashville Predators looked like they had the advantage for most of the game. It was just a couple of instances where they had a couple of lapses on defense. But game one went to the home team, Pittsburgh Penguins, 5-3. They got, three scores near the end of the first period. It was pretty much within the last few minutes of the first period. But then Nashville Predators started to come back. They scored a goal in the second period and then scored two quick goals in the third period to tie the game up. And then, within about, I would say, just around under 3 minutes left in the third period, the Penguins scored there, so that made them go ahead and take the lead. And then, Nick Bonino kind of sealed it with about, 1 minute left in the game with his goal. So, you had Malkin score, Nick Bonino with two. You had Sherry with a goal, and you had Jake Guentzel with a goal there, with the goal he had in the third period. While you had on the second period, Ryan Ellis scoring a power play goal, assisted by P.K. Subban and Mike Fisher, and Colton Sissons also scored on the power play goal in the third period. And then Fred Gaudreau scored in the third period to tie the game up before Guentzel took the lead there late in the third period, and then Nick Bonino sealing it for him. So you had the Pittsburgh Penguins up 1-0. The next game will be on tomorrow night. That will be on the NBC Sports Network. They had game one on NBC with it, being on Memorial Day. So they kind of, showcased the first game for the Stanley Cup Finals on NBC so that, more people could be able to watch it. I wonder if that kind of like helped the ratings there for the NHL a little bit. They've had a very, very good, playoff series. Of course, it's in stark contrast to what happened here with the NBA playoffs. So, kind of think that this will probably be a good little back and forth, between the Nashville Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, if you can, be sure to catch game two of the Stanley Cup Finals Wednesday night on the NBC Sports Network. Before going to the big topics here for this episode of the show, just wanted to give a little update going into baseball here. Yesterday, you had a little altercation with the Washington Nationals and the San Francisco Giants. Is the pitcher for San Francisco, Hunter Strickland, intentionally hit outfielder and star player for the Washington Nationals, Bryce Harper, in the game on Monday. And Bryce Harper went up and charged the mound and tried to throw his helmet at Hunter Strickland and ended up having a little fight at the around the pitcher's mound that cleared the dugouts for both teams. This kind of stemmed from a couple of things that happened a couple of years ago in the playoffs between the Giants and the Washington Nationals. Hunter Strickland faced Bryce Harper on two different occasions in the 2014 playoffs, and Bryce Harper took him deep. And then there was like one time, you know, after one of those home runs, Bryce Harper kind of was like drawing at Hunter Strickland. So I guess Hunter kind of like kept that inside for a good little while, and then he just went on ahead and, you know, hit him with an intentional beanball, and, you know, Harper just went on ahead and charged him, and they were going at it. As a result, both of these players were suspended. Yeah, Bryce Harper, he is suspended for 4 games, and Hunter Strickland, who was a relief pitcher, was suspended for 6 games and also fined, fined for it. They didn't say how much he was fined, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with that with Hunter Strickland. I'm not sure, you know, when the next series is going to be between those two, but I think this is, well, at least between those two, is probably going to carry over into the next series, whenever that is. So just wanted to, you know, give an update on that in baseball, because that's pretty much been the biggest story circulating around Major League Baseball. All right. Now we'll, you know, pretty much get into the main topics for this episode. I'm going to start off with, of course, you know, what happened early Monday morning. As, you know, we see that over in Jupiter, Florida, you had, you know, Tiger Woods stopped by the Jupiter Police Department, or Jupiter Police. And that was like around 2 a.m. on Monday morning. I say that he was incoherent. And he was stopped in the roadway, you know, when he was driving a black Mercedes. And on the report that's been put out, seems like Jason Sobel from ESPN had the report on his Twitter page, and it says that, you know, when he was stopped in the right lane of the roadway, they found Tiger Woods asleep at the wheel and had to be awakened while the car was running with his brake lights and right turn signal on. And so Tiger Woods stated that he was coming from golfing in L.A., but he didn't know where he was exactly and where he was going to be going. They tried to give him a field sobriety test, but he failed those, the heel to toe, you know, going crooked, you know, on the line, and among other things, the field sobriety test. But he said that he was not, you know, he wasn't under the influence of alcohol as he flew all zeros on the breathalyzer when that was, you know, when he was tested. He fully cooperated with the officers, but he says that there was like a side effect from medication that he was taking, kind of gave him the drowsy effect that he had. So he was pretty much out early in the morning driving, not, you know, not long after taking the prescription medication. So It looks like it would, you know, after that first report, you know, when it was saying, you know, Tiger Woods stopped for a DUI, I mean, you know, people kind of thought that he was, you know, drunk while being on the wheel, but here it's just saying that, you know, that wasn't the case. It just looked like he, you know, took some medications and it had an effect on him to, you know, have him drowsy, you know, while he was at the wheel. So it seems like there won't be, you know, any charges for it. Tiger Woods says that he like to apologize to his family, friends, and fans, and that he expects more out of himself, and that he wants to do everything in his power to ensure that it never happens again. Looks like he, you know, looks like he basically got lucky in this case because, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. It could have, you know, been, you know, it could have been there where he could have got caught. You know, caught with, you know, something in his car or, you know, caught drinking or anything like that or got into an accident or, you know, hit somebody where it could have been something where he would have been, you know, a lot worse off than he was able to have here in this case. So, you know, basically, we'll see what happens here within the, you know, next few days, you know, what happens out of it. If they give any more details about what he was taking and things like that, because, you know, we were just coming off in the previous week of him, you know, releasing a, you know, public statement about, you know, him trying to return to golf. He, you know, had surgery recently on his back, and then he said that, you know, he was, you know, a lot better off than he had been in the past. So he was looking to, you know, trying to get back into golfing professionally and be out there full time. So, like here, this is, you know, something that would be, you know, some type of a setback there in this case. All right, so just wanted to touch on that a little bit here with Tiger Woods. I kind of, you know, see that, you know, there's just still a little bit left to go before we get into the full details of what went on there. So it's going to be one thing that we're going to really catch up on here within the next few days. All right, next up is just wanted to, you know, touch on what's coming up here with the NBA Finals. Of course, finally the wait is over. Well, I wouldn't necessarily say the wait is over. We still got to wait two more days. I mean, it's still about another 48 hours before we get game one of the NBA Finals. And you can put that in contrast to, you know, what's just going through what happened here with game one of the Stanley Cup Finals, and they're going to have game two, you know, on Wednesday. So they're going to already be, you know, two games in to the Stanley Cup Finals by the time we're getting into game one of the NBA Finals. But it's, you know, kind of anticlimactic, the NBA season. You have the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers, and you have the champions of 2015, the Golden State Warriors. You know, these two teams, you know, face each other, 2015 NBA Finals, 2016 NBA Finals, but here you have 2017, where it's just something where a lot of people are, you know, kind of waiting on to see what's going to happen here with this. Of course, you have the Golden State Warriors, you know, able to go through these NBA playoffs, not losing a game, with a, point differential that was, where they kind of like beat every team by at least 14 points, which is crazy. And with that exception of game one of the Western Conference Finals against the San Antonio Spurs, there wasn't really, much of a matchup that they had or, where they had to really, do much of anything. And then on the flip side, you had, the Cleveland Cavaliers, were able to go through the conference with a 12-1 mark, losing that one game at home, game three, to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, or, by a last second three-pointer. But other than that, they kind of, coasted through the Eastern Conference playoffs, going through, beating the Indiana Pacers. That was, kind of a little closer series. Even though they won all four games, it was, a couple of close games in those. It'd be the Toronto Raptors in four games where it just didn't seem like Toronto had any type of answer. And then the series there with the Boston Celtics where, Boston Celtics were the number one seed, but Cleveland Cavaliers, they were able to, execute and run their offense, then they look like one of the most efficient offenses in the NBA, especially in that game, too, where they were able to defeat the Boston Celtics by 44 points. Now we finally get these two in here. We have game one. Of course, we have the focus is on the addition of the Golden State Warriors having Kevin Durant, who, according to many, consider him to be the second best player in the NBA, with LeBron James being number one. But now it's just a matter of seeing what Kevin Durant is going to be able to do here in this game. He had an appearance in the NBA Finals once before, while he was a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder, losing to the Miami Heat. But now he gets his second appearance here, now joining, two-time NBA MVP Stephen Curry with, defensive, possibly the defensive player of the year this year in Draymond, three-point specialist Klay Thompson, and a couple of other, key players that they have here on the roster, like Andre Iguodala, Zaza Pachulia there for the Golden State Warriors. But it's going to be interesting here because, even with the addition of Kevin Durant for the Golden State Warriors, this is a different type of team here than they had in the last or the previous 2 years. You look at, who they had on the team that went 73-9. You had Leandro Barbosa in there, Harrison Barnes, Andrew Bogut, Festus Ezeli, James Michael McAdoo, Maurice Spates, among others, and that kind of like led to them being a 73-9. Those guys aren't on there, anymore. You do have, the addition of David West there, a seasoned veteran that's been on, many playoff teams, most notably with the Indiana Pacers. You'd have JaVale McGee that's kind of been a defensive presence for the Golden State Warriors that kind of like contributes to them being one of the most efficient teams on defense in the NBA. So it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to be able to have this type of team be able to do what they did 2 years ago when they were able to win the title in six games against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But on the flip side, you do have, you know, with the Cleveland Cavaliers defending champs, you have, of course, LeBron James there. You have Kyrie Irving. You have Kevin Love. I think, you know, with Kevin Love out there, he's been one of the most impressive guys in the NBA playoffs so far, in reference to his three-point shooting, and also, you know, at times being there, being a presence, rebounding. So it's going to be, to me, I think that, you know, with him being able to execute very well, you have other guys that are out there, Darren Williams, Derek Williams, Richard Jefferson. Richard Jefferson is, you know, very key veteran there for the San Antonio Spurs. Are you kidding me? The Cleveland Cavaliers. He had a, you know, he had a good contribution to the team when they faced each other on Christmas Day, when they were able to get the close win over the Golden State Warriors and Cleveland. So he's going to be key for them. And also what happens here with their bench, like I said, Jefferson is a key contributor from the bench. Iman Shumpert, Kyle Korver, and Channing Frye are, you know, pretty much the four, along with Darren Williams, and you also have Derek Williams. So they at least use, I mean, six people within that rotation. They use at least six people within their rotation off the bench to kind of, you know, have people or players fresh there. So think about it this. I mean, you have Kyle Korver that does contribute with about 10.7 points a game there that he's been able to do here so far. So it to me, it's going to be about how they're going to be able to execute. They're going to be, you know, able to be as successful with their 3-point shooting as they were, you know, during the course of the NBA playoffs. I think they, if I'm not mistaken, I think they were the most accurate 3-point shooting team in the playoffs here this year. So that's something that we're going to look at here to see if they're going to be able to continue that against the Golden State Warriors. To me, I feel that with the changes that, you know, were made on both sides, even though it looks like the Warriors look like they have the better overall team here by the way that they performed this season. Yes, they did go 73-9 last year and went 67-15 this year. But they came in, you know, with a, you know, a winning, kind of like a, you know, that winning streak going 12-0 in the playoffs here. And the way that they, you know, are able to execute well. But you're going to be able to see here if they're going to, you know, be able to get in here with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, you know, there was a stat that was, you know, that came out here that, you know, that the home team, I think it was a home team, in game one of the NBA Finals, I think they won the first game in the, or they lost the first game in 11 out of the last 12 NBA Finals. So I got to see if I can confirm that or if it's the other way around. But we kind of seen here, of course, with the series, the past couple of series here with the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers, that you know, each team is capable of, you know, winning in the other's home before. I think, you know, you had the Cleveland Cavaliers last year win, you know, two games in Oracle Arena, Game 5 and Game 7. And then you also, you know, you had the Golden State Warriors in 2015 win a couple of games also. Of course, winning the clinching game in Game 6. So both teams are capable of winning in the other's home floor. I think that's going to, you know, hopefully be a factor here in this series. Even though the last series kind of went seven games, most of the games were, you know, kind of decisive victories for each team until the last game, Game 7, when Cleveland Cavaliers were able to, you know, get the win with Kyrie Irving's three-pointer and the defensive stop by LeBron James, followed by Kyrie's three-pointer, and then, you know, the defensive stop by, I think it was Kevin Love, prevented Steph Curry from getting the field goal there. So you're going to be able to see what's going to happen here within Game 1. I think you're going to have you might see like a quick start coming out of the Golden State Warriors here. As far as like injury reports, they have Sasha Pachulia said that he's been, you know, on the sidelines due to a right heel contusion, but he's expected to make it in for Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Yeah, Patrick McCaw recently with an injured ankle, but they say that he should be ready to go here for Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Looks like for the Cleveland Cavaliers, everybody should be healthy or ready to go. The other uncertainty is if the head coach for the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr, is going to be able to be out there for the NBA Finals. He hadn't really been out there for the playoffs due to complications with his back. So it has been Mike Brown that has, you know, been out there on the bench, being the interim head coach here for the NBA playoffs. So we're going to see if we could get any updates for that here in the next coming days, to see if they're going to be able to have Steve Kerr out there on the bench here for the NBA Finals. Right. You know, for those that are listening in here to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports on the Go Long Media channel, here in the live podcast, if you want to call in and talk sports, call in at 347-237-5539, 347-237-5539. Press the 1 key and you'll be able to talk in live on the show. Wanted to also touch on a few things here within the National Football League. We've had, you know, OTAs, you know, over the past week or so. We've had, you know, guys to, you know, kind of like come out there, you know, get their workouts in, you know, rookies trying to get comfortable. Some people that, you know, that have had significant injuries trying to get back into the game. Teddy Bridgewater, you know, who had the key injury to his leg. So he was able to, you know, get back into it with the Minnesota Vikings. So just wanted to, you know, touch on a couple of things here with, you know, with the National Football League. You have a couple of articles here. One that's on ESPN.com, and the other is from Bleacher Report. Kind of something here, kind of like focusing on either weaknesses or, you know, things where these players have the most to show here, you know, coming into the 2017 NFL season. And here with ESPN.com, we have, you know, a few things here with a couple of players. Just wanted to, let's see, I'm gonna go through this article here on ESPN.com, but I'm going to just touch on the AFC here as far as, like, who they say has the most to prove here within the AFC. And just start here with the AFC East. They say Buffalo Bills, that you know, players that are most approved by the Buffalo Bills is Tyrod Taylor and Sammy Watkins. And that you know, going through, you know, what happened here with the offseason, that's pretty much not a surprise. They, you know, had something with contracts this year. They were able to renew Tyrod Taylor. And for Sammy Watkins, they climbed the fifth-year option on his contract that was going to be for 2018. So here this year is going to be, you know, either, you know, what these two players are going to do here to kind of like impress the management of the Buffalo Bills and the head coach that's out there now, to see if they're going to be, you know, more successful this year for that team. For the Miami Dolphins, they say it's a defensive tackle, Jordan Phillips. You know, he's a second-round pick for the Miami Dolphins. You know, they kind of were struggling on run defense last season, as they were 30th out of 32 teams against the run there, which, you know, kind of surprising there for the Miami Dolphins, I would say, given the defensive linemen that they have. And we're probably going to, you know, touch on that a little bit more later on here, coming from the other article on Bleacher Report. So there you have Jordan Phillips, that's going to be the person to watch for on the Miami Dolphins. For the New England Patriots, they say it's going to be quarterback Cyrus Jones, you know, second-round pick from 2016 draft. He was inactive for that Super Bowl win that they had over the Atlanta Falcons. Here, looks like he's going to see if they're going to see if he's going to try to step up to get the one of the starting corner positions since the Patriots lost Logan Ryan to the Tennessee Titans. Moving to the New York Jets, they say Christian Hackenberg is the guy to look out for. Let's see if he's going to be able to compete for the starting job. Of course, they, you know, have a bunch of quarterback issues, have had quarterback issues for the past few years now. So this is the year here where looks like Christian Hackenberg should be the person to step up, take over the quarterback positions for the New York Jets. All right, moving to the AFC North. And I'll start with the Ravens. They say Breshad Perriman, since, you know, Steve Smith Sr. is out due to retirement, and Kamar Aiken ended up signing with the Indianapolis Colts. He had Rashad Perriman, you know, had missed a lot of games. He missed his rookie season. And he also had a good amount of time that he missed during training camp last year with a left knee injury. So, yeah, see if they're, you know, he's going to be able to perform fully healthy for the Baltimore Ravens this year. For Cincinnati, they say that Tyler Eifert is the guy to look out for. He is in his last year of his rookie contract, and that, you know, he's going to be the, you know, the full-time guy at tight end for the Cincinnati Bengals. He, you know, did have back surgery recently, but, you know, on top of that, he's also, you know, been injured a good amount of times here over the course of his few years with the Cincinnati Bengals. So that kind of like puts a, you know, spotlight on him for the offense on the Cincinnati Bengals there. For Cleveland Browns, it's been Joe Hayden is, you know, one of the high-profile guys for the Cleveland Browns, a quarterback, you know, coming out of the University of Florida. He's, been there for a while. He's their, you know, seventh overall pick in 2010. He, you know, had some issues with injuries over the past two seasons. But they say that, you know, he's due about, I'd say, a shade over $32 million within the next three seasons. That's a hefty price for a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. So he's going to have to be, you know, one of the best guys, you know, out there in the AFC and be able to stay on the field as well. So that's going to be something to look out for with Joe Hayden. For the Pittsburgh Steelers, they say wide receiver Martavis Bryant is the guy to look out for there. So, I mean, of course you have, you know, of course you have Antonio Brown there, you know, being the lead guy. But, you know, Martavis Bryant has been, you know, in and out, you know, in and out of trouble, so to speak. And, you know, he was supposed to be the guy that kind of supposed to be the, you know, number two person for Ben Roethlisberger's wide receiver core there in Pittsburgh. But he's, you know, he had another suspension due to drugs. So he has to see if he's going to be able to stay on the field and, you know, not get caught with any drugs, you know, this year. So that's something there to look out for with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Although I kind of feel that with Pittsburgh, they also got to do something with their defense. I think they got to have some type of depth, either with the linebacker position or in the secondary. So kind of like feel that. That, you know, those are the positions are something to watch out for, you know, as well with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, moving to the AFC South, this is surprising here. Well, with the Houston Texans, they say that the player that's the most approved, that has the most approved this season is quarterback Tom Savage. And I'm not sure about that because, you know, even though he's in the final year of his rookie contract and he's got to do something in order to, you know, stay on the roster for the Houston Texans, I think the quarterback position is Deshaun Watson's to lose. I think he should be the guy that should be the starter. I mean, they the Houston Texans traded up to get Deshaun Watson. So that's something where, you know, Tom Savage, I mean, he really couldn't do that much for him last season. I mean, they were able to, you know, get the win over the Oakland Raiders in that first round of the playoffs, but that was almost like a default type of thing there, because the Oakland Raiders were trotting out there with their third string quarterbacks, and even then it wasn't like, you know, the Houston Texans were able to, you know, blow out the Oakland Raiders in that wild card playoffs game. All right, moving to the Indianapolis Colts. They say that Dante Moncrief has to step up for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, hey, that's kind of a name there, because Dante Moncrief is, you know, probably one guy that I kind of focus on in fantasy football. He's, you know, kind of been a contributor off and on a few of my fantasy football teams. So we're going to see if they say that he's going to be out there. He suffered a shoulder injury last season, and even with that, he was able to leave the Colts with 7 touchdown receptions within 9 games. But here he's entering the last year of his contract, so this is something here where, of course, it's like the customary showing through that you're, you know, worth having another contract with the Indianapolis Colts there. So that's something there to watch out for with Dante Moncrief out there. With the Jacksonville Jaguars, this is, you know, not a surprise at all. Blake Bortles. The Jaguars were able to pick up his fifth-year option. He had, 35 touchdown passes and over 4,400 passing yards in 2015, but he, you know, has to, you know, be able to be more consistent, not be able to turn the ball over. He has 63 turnovers since 2015, and that just can't cut it. Being a high draft pick that he was, and you know, being the guy that they were saying that he was going to be the franchise player. So, if there's like any position within the Jacksonville Jaguars that had to improve, of course, it had to be quarterback. And so it's Blake Bortles' time to, you know, show that he's, you know, worth being a starting quarterback there for the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right. Moving to the Tennessee Titans, they say it's linebacker Kevin Dodd. He'll be going into his second year. He, you know, had like issues with his foot during his rookie season. So they need to see if he's going to be able to contribute to the depth of the linebacker core. Of course, you know, they have Brian Racpo there, Derek Morgan there. But here they got to see if Kevin Dodd can, you know, add to their depth, or if they got to look for other linebackers coming into the 2018 season. And just continue moving right along there, you got over in the AFC West, Denver Broncos is saying that Shane Ray, of course, Shane Ray coming out of Missouri, he had 8 sacks last year, you know, pretty much being a part of the linebacker rotation there for the Denver Broncos. But it looks like that he's going to have, you know, more playing time here this season. They're looking at him to, you know, kind of like replace the Marcus Ware, and you know what you know he's gonna be, you know, able to do, you know, basically being the, next person there to step up for the Denver Broncos in their defense that they have out there. So pretty much got to be able to look out for Shane Ray for the Denver Broncos. For the Kansas City Chiefs, looks like it's another quarterback being put up there. And, you know, this is no surprise given the results of the first round in the NFL draft. Quarterback Alex Smith. Like I was saying with the Houston Texans, traded up to get Deshaun Watson, and the Kansas City Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. I think, you know, that was probably one of the most surprising moves in the NFL draft was the Chiefs trading up to that 10 spot to get Patrick Mahomes there in the first round. Now, he'll now, with Alex Smith, I mean, it's just a matter of if he's going to be able to step up and, you know, do a few good things for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are, you know, pretty much a playoff team, regardless, you know, who's at quarterback. I mean, they have the offensive weapons out there. They have one of the best tight ends in the game, and Travis Kelce, of course. You know, you had a few players, you know, step up for him on offense, even with, you know, them having injury issues with Jamal Charles. And now Jamal Charles is, you know, now with another team. So now it's just a, you know, a matter of what they're going to do here with this offense and if there's going to be any adjustments there for him with Alex Smith calling the signals at quarterback. All right, moving along here. Now you have the Los Angeles Chargers, and they say that defensive tackle Corey Leggett is the guy to focus on here. His overall production has dwindled as far as, like, getting sacks. He had, like, 18 total in his first four seasons in the league, but then dropped down to, you know, having 3 in 2015 and not being able to get a sack last year. And now, you know, he's due to make $8 million this year, making him the third highest player on the roster. So he's going to be somebody that, you know, people within the Chargers organization are going to be looking to to see if he's going to be able to produce, right? Now, for the Oakland Raiders, they're saying here that the guy to look out for that has the most to prove is Derek Carr. Yep, Derek Carr, who you probably had, you know, the, you know, probably had one of the best seasons, you know, I mean, he had the best season of his career. It's just that he was, you know, injured at week 16. That kind of, like, you know, cost him, you know, the division, cost him home field advantage in the first round of the playoffs. And like I was saying before, they ended up losing to the Houston Texans, basically with their third-string quarterback. And even if they had, you know, any version of Derek Carr out there on the field, I think that they would have been able to get that win. So I think here with Derek Carr, they're kind of like seeing if he's going to be able to have a good production or a good season here so that if he gets a contract extension after this year, then it could be a very lucrative contract for Derek Carr there. So that covers, you know, what, you know, this ESPN.com article reference to the AFC and, you know, what they need to, what each team needs to prove there. Next week, I'll probably get into the NFC and those players that are out there that have the most to prove for each team within the NFC. Because, like I was saying before, you do have OTAs out there for a lot of the teams, and seems like there, you know, still a good amount of stories are out there for some of these teams in the National Football League, specifically, you know, with the Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers, the Carolina Panthers, Dallas Cowboys, also the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So there's still a good amount of, you know, people that are, or a good amount of teams that are out there that have a lot to prove here within this upcoming 2017 NFL season. All right. Pretty much on that note, I am going to close out this episode here for the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. See if we'll look into the next episode that'll be on next Tuesday at 8:30. We'll pretty much have a few shows. Oh, I mean, not a few shows, but we'll have a few games in through the NBA Finals by then. And then also we'll get a little bit more in depth with what happened with the Stanley Cup Finals. So we're going to have at least two more games by next Tuesday, Game 2 and Game 3. So pretty much get into it with the Stanley Cup Finals as well. So we'll pretty much get into that. Among other news, here for the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. And make sure that you catch some sports articles on thechonsports.com. And also check other shows here on the Go Long Media Channel, including the Boxing Source Radio Show, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. Here on the same channel on Blog Talk Radio. So we will look forward to seeing you next week, and thanks for listening.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports.
I apologize in advance if I am out of line here.
Brace yourselves, boys. We're going in.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
I can't believe you!
I'm not reading. I'm just looking at the pictures.
Welcome to the Cold Hard Truth on Sports.